Storms, floods, food shortages, refugee crises, the U.S. and China have agreed to a new policy that aims to keep those plagues at bay. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Two major developments we've been covering. After 18 months of secret meetings, the U.S. and China have agreed to move faster to limit the gas emissions linked to climate change. We'll have more on that in just a second. But also today, a half dozen banks, including Citigroup and J.P. Morgan, are paying a combined $3.3 billion in penalties. Financial regulators in three countries, including the U.S., say the banks failed to stop traders from fixing prices for currencies. Market players are also looking at a downbeat forecast from Britain's central bank. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management.
The weakness in Europe in general has spilled over to the UK, and I think it just resonates back through that Europe continues to be weak. Not that anyone had lost track of that. That is the refrain. And certainly if you think back to the middle of October, the big worry in the markets was that this kind of global slowdown that has eased a bit with the fact that the U.S. data has continued to come through. I'm actually quite strong, but I think this has brought back some maybe not so pleasant memories.
Stone says this is one more reason that interest rates are not going up in the U.S. anytime soon.
Certainly the Federal Reserve knows that there's going to be impacts from how much the rest of the world slows down as to how much the U.S. economy slows down. So I don't view it as necessarily a primary input other than maybe they have to think in the back of their minds some more risk factors that hang out there for the U.S. economy, which is, I think, again, maybe another easy way to say why is the U.S. market a little bit worried about this. It maybe ups and highlights a little bit of the risk factors that remain out there.
The yield on the 10-year note is down to 2.32% now. A surprise announcement out of Beijing today. The United States and China have come to this joint agreement on climate change. For the first time, China is drawing a line in the sand on greenhouse gas emissions. And the U.S.? Well, Stan Alcorn tells us what it'll take to hold up our end of this bargain.
When it comes to climate change, China and the United States are the 300-pound gorillas, responsible for more than 40% of the world's greenhouse gas. China agreed to set a goal to stop increasing its emissions by 2030. And the U.S.?
I would characterize it as a call to accelerate what we're already doing.
Bob Perciasepe is the president of the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions.
In order to get there 10 years from now, we have to start going a little faster.
That means building on emission standards for cars and a plan for power plants that's currently in progress with the EPA. John Larson, senior analyst with the Rhodium Group, says different states could achieve those goals in different ways, but
the quickest, fastest, most cost-effective option available is switching from carbon-intensive coal generators to low-carbon natural gas.
According to the Rhodium Group's analysis, that switch could cut coal revenue $15 to $20 billion and boost revenues for natural gas by as much as $30 billion. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Instead of stuffing your face in one sitting, imagine a bacchanalia spread over 5 days. The biggest of retailers, Walmart, says it wants to stretch out the frenzy of post-Thanksgiving shopping into nearly a week of sudden sales and other promotions. In practice, that means that some of the special deals won't happen on so-called Black Friday. And at a more spiritual level, is this the time to mention that there's more to life than consumption? Fortune magazine senior editor-at-large and Marketplace regular Alan Sloan is here. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
You have an issue with this Super Bowl-like fascination with the intensity of shopping that we see in and around Thanksgiving. What's the problem?
The coverage of Black Friday is so preposterous and over the top that it just makes me laugh.
And at the end of this Friday shopping frenzy, these predictions about what this will mean for the Christmas shopping season, to me, they don't bear any relationship to the actual levels of consumer spending we ultimately see.
They don't. But almost no one ever writes that. Anyway, as far as I'm concerned, the big event this Thanksgiving weekend is my birthday, which happens to be on Thanksgiving. And perhaps I can treat everyone shopping as a tribute to me, but I don't think that would quite work out.
So you got a conflict of interest in this discussion. It's diverting attention away from your birthday. It's a funny thing, though. You're looking up the origins of this term, Black Friday. I mean, we often think it has to do with black ink. If you sell enough, you won't be in the red.
The history seems to be that sometime in the 1950s, when Center City, Philadelphia, which is where all the stores were in the 50s, got immensely crowded the day after Thanksgiving, the police department called it Black Friday because it was a real pain. And some very clever marketing person took that term and repurposed it, and suddenly it became that's the day department stores start showing a profit, which is black ink. I mean, it's completely not true, but it's a great story. Everybody repeats it, and it gives people in our business something to do.
All right, so what do you propose instead the day after Thanksgiving? We're going to sit around talking about nurturing our relationships, giving to charity. What do you want to do?
Well, what I'm going to do is probably sleep off my birthday. Probably my daughters and possibly my wife will go shopping, but they won't be standing in line at 3 in the morning to try to save 12 cents at Walmart.
All right. Well, I predict they'll be on the air that day. Alan Sloan, Senior Editor at Large, Fortune, thank you very much.
My pleasure to be here, David.
Since we're all so above the commercialization of the impending holidays, you will not be interested to hear news of what Starbucks has been working on. The first new holiday drink in 5 years. The drink is said to be quite sweet and involve chestnut and praline. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.